Our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapters 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from James chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace." Therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was from Mark chapter 9. You know, one thing that's great about little kids is their sense of imagination. Give a couple of boys a whole bunch of plastic toy soldiers. Suddenly the living room becomes Normandy Beach. Hopefully they know what that is. They'll have these tremendous little battles on their living room floor. Give a little girl a doll and she plays with it and tries to protect it like a mother would. Well, until mom says there's ice cream on the table, then the doll gets dropped on his head, but that's beside the point. If you ask kids what do they want to be when they get big, an exotic animal educator. I'm a little more concerned about the government. Not part of the government. I want to be the government. Okay. You know, they might say police, a nurse, a soldier, a cowboy. All right. Maybe an actress, something like that. Now, asking you, when you were small, what did you dream that you would be someday? I bet you had a whole bunch of ideas on how life would unfold. Maybe now we dream about, well, when I finish this task, then I can. Or when I have the time, I will do this. Or when I can, I will travel to this or that place. See, adults can dream too. Absolutely, adults can dream too. But when you want to dream big, you've got to think small. See, children, a childlike heart allows Jesus to teach us. So when you have that childlike heart, that allows the Lord to teach us. So when I get big, I really need to be small. Mark chapter 9 is an important pivot point in the Gospel of Mark, because the first 8 chapters, Jesus is teaching the crowds. Now forward, he's just teaching his disciples. The same way that he's constantly teaching us, he's now teaching the disciples. And he tells the disciples, I am going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die there, and then I'll rise again. They need to know this. They need to know that God is in control, and they also need to know that in the end, he will rise again. He's preparing them for what's coming. See, if you're too big, you miss the point of the lesson. The disciples didn't have that childlike heart where they wanted to know. Instead, they were expecting, wait a minute, Jesus is going to be this conquering king. And once he conquers Jerusalem, then we're going to move north and take this over, maybe Egypt. Hey, Peter, do you want to rule Egypt? Cool. Now, how are we going to get our various kingdoms? So they're chattering kind of like this. Notice Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. They don't understand it. So when you don't understand something, what do? Do you ask a question? Lutherans. Usually you ask a question. So what do the disciples do? I'm not going to ask. I am not asking him anything. Maybe we just ignore that whole death part. You'll get on to some of the good stuff. Like, who gets to be the king in Jerusalem? See, we have to be small enough to actually listen to him. Now, back in the day when I graduated high school, I was the absolutely most brilliant person who had ever walked out of there. I knew everything about everything. And I was going to go to college where I had my rules, my time. After all, I knew everything. Guess what? I had a whole bunch of lessons to learn. Some of the stuff I don't even tell my father to this day. See, we learn from our own experiences, or we learn from the experience of others. As long as we're on this earth, Jesus is teaching us. He teaches us through his word and through experience in life. And do we always like all those lessons that he's teaching us? Are all the lessons that we go through life, do all of them make us real happy? Some of them aren't a lot of fun, but we're learning something. James says in chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Before you get big, you got to be small enough to actually learn from God. And when I'm talking about being small enough, I don't know everything. I'm not in control of my own life. When I'm in control of my own life, I mess it up. Being small enough is admitting I need God. I can't do this alone. And the disciples, they weren't paying attention. As I said, they're arguing about who's going to be king of this, that, and the other thing, and then they get busted. Jesus comes in and says, so what were you all talking about on the road? Nobody wants to answer this one. See, they were looking at life that the guy who's on, let's say, the top of the ladder, giving all the orders and directions, that's the most important. Jesus is saying, no, it's the person on the bottom of the ladder who's serving other people. Jesus explains to them, you all got this wrong. This is not about having status in the world sight. It's about being a servant to others. Then Jesus scoops up this little child and puts him in the midst of them. By the way, in Judaism, children, they didn't have that real status. Like today, you know, everybody loves little kids, things like that. In Judaism at this time, children, like, you go over there and be quiet. So when Jesus puts his child in the midst of them, I'm sure they're looking and going, okay, why do we have this one here? Jesus says, whoever receives one like this receives me. That word receive doesn't mean like I receive, you know, a letter from the postman. It's not that. The word receive has the idea of serve. So when we serve someone like this, a child, we are serving him. So the greatest person is the one who serves others. Jesus takes their little world and turns it completely upside down. You realize it's 3 years of ministry or so. He's constantly telling them, no, it's really like this, but it's completely opposite of what you're thinking, referring to this little child. Taking care of someone who can't do anything for themselves. Like, when they need to be fed at 3 a.m., can you tell them, God, give me another couple of hours? Nope. I wish they could change themselves. That would be cool, right, if they could change themselves? See, with our kids, we put in for the aluminum frame, so they're a lighter weight model and a quick change hatch. But it's got the idea of we are doing everything for them. What does a baby give back to you besides their formula on the front of your shirt? What does a baby give back? Do you get anything out of changing the diapers, feeding them, clothing them, rocking them to sleep in the middle of the night? You don't get anything. That's what Jesus is talking about, serving others. To do this without expecting something in return. Jesus says in Luke 14, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. type of service he's calling us to do for others. Complete service, expecting nothing in return. Serving those that society would really reject. Think about the example he set for us. This has always amazed me. God Almighty, who made absolutely everything in the universe, controls it all and understands it all. Okay? In heaven, absolute paradise, probably looks a lot like the state of Michigan. Really? Okay, we'll let that one go. He's up there in heaven, and he looks down on this earth to a bunch of people who rebel constantly against him every day and every hour and minute, rebel against him, break every one of his laws, and he says, I'm going to come down to earth. Think about this. When Jesus walked, say, from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's about 10 miles. He had to walk on a road. This is God Almighty. He could just poof anywhere he wanted to be. You know, like the old Star Trek, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and put me somewhere else. He could do all that. What's he do instead? He walks. Just think about that. God Almighty, who can do everything, walked, ate, suffered with the people. Story, a father was tucking in his son one night, and the son says, what does it mean to be big? And the dad says, well, when you get big enough, you're going to move out of the house and get a job and have your own place to live. And the little boy says, you mean I got to leave you and mom? Dad says, well, yes. The little boy yells out, I don't want to be big. Father says, remember, wherever you are always my little boy. That's the concern God has for us. We always belong to him. We need that childlike trust. Like, no, Lord, I don't want to leave you. I want to be here. See, children have it great. All right? Do they ever worry if there's going to be clean clothes in the drawer? I don't think any of us had that issue growing up. Is there going to be clean clothes? Do kids worry about whether or not there'll be food? Now, they may not like the liver and onions you're serving, okay? But they know there's going to be food on the table. They know there's going to be a roof over their head. They just assume all of this. Why? Because mom and dad have always done it. We need that same trust when it comes to the promises of God, that he will take care of everything because he always has. So that question, what do you want to be when you get big? I hope it would be, Lord, I want to be, when I get big, I want to be small. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.